Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Friday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. I hope you're getting ready for the Super Bowl. We'll spend some time on Nebraska basketball as they are ready. We're recruiting. Never sleeps. You got Junior Day and, of course, Signing Day on Wednesday. Greg Smith in 15 minutes to get you loaded up on both. We'll hear from Coach Tim Miles. And we'll run down the Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports' Bill Dolman, Andy Markowski. Yes, the Pride of Ord will get us ready in hour two. And we'll talk a little big picture with Andy. About 10 to 14 days ago, we talked to Andy about Ty Lue, Tyron Lue, his teammate, his friend, you know, about the God forbid, right? God forbid Nebraska's got to make a decision at basketball coach and assistants at the end of the year. And you hate going there or discussing it as it's now February, okay? You got the month of February to be okay. You got part of March to be okay. And you got time in March to dance. And you just don't have a lot of faith right now. And with Tim Miles, God bless him with how positive he's trying to be, at least in front of the cameras and microphones, to his team. And I respect that, dude. I mean, adversity hits, what happens? Think of what the hell moments in your life where how do you handle it? And he's trying to handle it the right way. He's trying to get his kids to handle it the right way. And I think tomorrow, whether Nebraska was in the midst of losing 5 of 7 or 4 straight, or whether Nebraska's in a kind of a better spot right now, injury or not with Cope, tomorrow is going to be tough. Because what you're going to get with Illinois is a team that's loaded with talent, that has their head up their backside more times than you want to count. But when they turn it on, they are freaking good. Okay, you're not going to play well against Illinois if you're in a good mental and physical space. So we'll get into that a little bit, talking some Nebraska basketball. Super Bowl and the legacy discussion. You can join us today, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Email chris@hailvarsity.com. Give us a tweet at Schmidt underscore radio, at Two Birds, One Stone. Hope your weekend's off to a fantastic start. And we'll get into a lot of things here with Nebraska basketball. Because I think you'll keep an eye on it tomorrow. But as a fan base, your interest is waning. When they're not doing what they're supposed to do, and they look bad, and they've looked bad 2 out of their last 3 games. They didn't shoot well, and they looked bad offensively, but it wasn't for lack of effort or want to. The want to was very questionable against Rutgers and the Ohio State game. Mm-hmm. Colton, you know, let's have this Ty Lue moment real quick. And that's a name you're hearing about. That's a name Nebraska fans want. Can we throw some cold water on it? And the reason I say that is just walk with me here, okay. On Ty Lue. Ty Lue got whacked from Cleveland. He got whacked from Cleveland when they lost LeBron. Mm-hmm. Ty Lue also led these guys back from a 3-1 deficit to take down Golden State mm-hmm. with LeBron's help.
Yeah.
And Lue came in as kind of an interim, was elevated to head coach. And it is such a different world in the NBA compared to college. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying Ty Lue can't make the adjustment. I'm not saying Ty Lue wouldn't want to make the adjustment. I'm just saying going from a head coach to an assistant in the NBA being around Shaq, being around LeBron, being around MJ. I mean, Lou is loved in the league. He is respected. He has had an incredible career. He has found tremendous roles for himself as a player, as a free agent, as a guy that is trusted by the Phil Jacksons, by Michael Jordan, mm-hmm. by LeBron James, okay? So Lou's going to get another shot in the NBA if he wants it. Money's not an object, okay? $35 million contract with Cleveland. He's getting paid.
Yep.
He made $25 million at least as a player. So do that math, tax it. There you go. You've got a lifestyle to discuss where it's professional. Here's the game plan. They're elite athletes. Talent wins. Scheme wins. Go do it. And if you win, it's okay. We've got tomorrow night. You go do shoot around. You're professional. You're accountable. Or you're gone. Or you're fired. And you have brutal egos. So that side of things coming from the NBA to college or high school ego, you're not different a lot of times with super high-level talent and maturity level. I think there's probably a ton of respect out there for Lou. Could Lou come in here if given the opportunity, if somebody has reached out to him and say, hey, come back to Nebraska? I mean, at least his jersey's now retired, you know, because that took 7 years or 70 years to retire. Could Lou come in here and win? Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. Could Lou come in here and bring in top 100 or 150 talent? I think so. Could Lou, what's Ty Lue's recruiting base? Well, he's known in Cleveland. He's known in Los Angeles. He's known in Charlotte. He's known in D.C. He's a Doc guy. Mm-hmm. He's a Doc Rivers guy, L.A. I mean, so his recruiting base is what versus what he's known for professionally? His recruiting base is Kansas City, Mexico, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so can you go get and beat recruits that Rick Barnes is going after, that some of the Big Ten schools are going after, that Missouri used to get mm-hmm. every day and Kansas used to get every day? Can you go win those battles? Probably a few. Consistently? Don't know. The hard question you have to ask yourself, whatever happens tomorrow, Nebraska wins tomorrow at the Stay of Execution. There's enough chances for them to play good enough basketball and get a Stay of Execution for your head coach and this staff. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not a foregone conclusion. But it just looks really, really, really difficult. It's a long bet, right? It's a long shot based on what schedule's remaining, where this team's at, the funk they're in. I think they're going to fight. I think they're going to make it difficult. Call me crazy.
Well, that's the hope, right?
No, it is. I'm not saying they're quitting. I'm saying I think they're going to – I think they may surprise a couple of teams. I mean, it just, the roller coaster of Nebraska basketball is just when you think you've got them figured out, they surprise you, good or bad. The thing about Nebraska basketball from a job standpoint is – Whoever they would go get, can the next guy do a better job? And I know there's people pissed off about Miles and the offense is and why is there no depth? And those are all valid takes, absolutely. But you've got a product in a basketball program. I'm not defending, and I'm not stomping my feet that he's got to stay. I mean, you can absolutely go find a better coach and a better recruiter, but you just got to be freaking honest with yourself about Nebraska. I mean, facilities and PBA, and that's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's second to none. The fan base loves you. You've been selling out the place for a long time, and Miles has done okay here. Let's give the guy some credit. He's went to an NCAA tournament. Hopefully, lesson learned, if they can turn things around this year. There's been three or four teams in his 7 years. One went. There's been at least three, maybe should have had four, get there. Like, if you're batting 1,000, you have four tournament appearances in 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's as good as it's ever been when you look at what Danny Nee did, where he had four straight years of tournaments and an NIT championship, and then a year they got snubbed.
Mm-hmm.
So can the next guy, if there is a next guy, do a better job? What is a realistic stratosphere for Nebraska basketball. And the reason we have this conversation, be smart about who you actually think would take the job. I mean, do you go blue blood? And it's not open, okay? So forgive me. But let's just walk down the if it is open discussion. If the Nebraska job is open, do you go mid-major again? Well, you've done that since Danny Nee, and you kicked ass with getting Nee. He was great, okay? It was between Danny Nee and Mike Montgomery. Mike Montgomery went to Stanford, and they were really good at Stanford, and then they were really good at Cal. Mike Montgomery went to the NBA, and now he's probably got his own island, okay? It's a name you know. So Bob Devaney had Danny Nee and Mike Montgomery, and I think Mike Montgomery took the Stanford job, elevated them, went to the NBA, came back, went to Cal. And then after that, Barry Collier clearly knows how to hire coaches. Brad Stevens. Barry Collier out of the Butler bubble just didn't work here. Doc Sadler just didn't work here. Mm-hmm. Both are great dudes. Both can coach. Both can teach. But it just, no, wasn't ready. And then you went after Miles, who, little old Colorado State, climbed their way up. They're scrappy. They're good. They did it with Nebraska kids, their tournament team. And then he came in here, and he had a great group of assistants. They got fire, man. They were good in year two. Can you land the guy that – can you land the surefire yes that is going to make it a different outcome long term? Or is it just a continuous vicious cycle of basketball poverty when you haven't gone after the right hire? You're taking a chance. There's no certainty. I get it. But the better success rate, the better odds will not come here. Mm-hmm. They won't do it. You're going to have to overpay to get somebody that's recycled. Do you finally do that? Rick Pitino, there's buffets, there's Italian food. Go see Navat for a Brioni suit. Okay? People would flip, but that's an option.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's stupid. It's probably not an option for him, but we can talk about it. So there's just a really weird mesh point right now with Nebraska basketball. What you have, what you want to be, what you are. It is. So we'll talk with Andy Markowski about that coming up, recruiting. And we'll see how Nebraska plays tomorrow. We'll hear from Tim Miles coming up in about 25 minutes or so. And I don't know. Can the next guy do a better job than what's here? What would make you happy as a Nebraska basketball fan is some depth, some offense, and just being better. And you won early here, and the question about the construction process has been very appropriate. You've just kept trying to quickly reload, quick fix versus long term. And that's an issue. What do you think, man? You're way younger than I am, but you've seen your view of Nebraska basketball success. Were you even born the last time they went to the tournament, 1997, 98?
Well, I was born in 97. So
you were 6 months old when Ty Lue took the team to the tournament.
Yeah, probably.
So, but you don't remember it, obviously.
No.
Okay.
My thought on Ty Lue, and not saying that he couldn't do it,
Would you even want to jack with it?
I don't know, because I go back to, if I remember who it was correctly, it was Fred Hoiberg that said, once he started coaching
nice
for the
name
Bulls.
Nice poll, by the way.
Yeah.
Because that's the other name people want.
He basically said, like, once he got to the NBA, he's like, yeah, I don't know if I'd want to go back to college because of the recruiting. Like, I don't know. They don't like recruiting.
Well, it's not that they don't. They love talking to kids. I think the cesspool that is recruiting when it comes to Nike or Adidas or Under Armour, shoe BS you got to go through. The Under Armour, I shouldn't say the Under Armour, but the AAU stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's great kids are playing ball, but you're not dealing with a high school coach. You're dealing with handlers.
Yeah.
You're dealing with glorified wannabe agents to steer a kid. And it sucks. I mean, it absolutely sucks. And that's not every AAU situation, okay? That's not fair, and that's not right to say that side of things is bad and a headache for every coach. There are good AAU programs out there, teams with folks who run it, okay? But the reality is, more times than not, somebody's, what's in it for me to get my kid to go to your school?
Yeah.
That's the BS, and it's just a freaking wear out for high school coaches and absolutely a wear out for the college coaches.
Yeah, and it's, and I don't think it's that Lou couldn't recruit here, but that's kind of been the issue, right, is that kids in the state are leaving and playing somewhere else.
And do you have a steady flow of in-state kids to go win enough to go win 15 games in the Big Ten every year?
That's the tough part. Do you have enough?
The answer has been no.
Right. You have a few, but you don't have all of the pieces there.
Exactly. And that is your biggest deterrent when it comes to the current or next Nebraska basketball coach is what you've got around your recruiting radius. And it is awesome to have facilities. It's awesome to have PBA. It's awesome to be in the Big Ten. But the reality is it is a tough job. And history tells you that. It's not an excuse. It's a reality. So if you're Ty Lue, you want 12 months a year where you're having to grind and you're not having to build from scratch. You have to tweak and get better a little bit. Do you even want to jerk with it? I don't know. We'll get to some recruiting. Greg Smith's coming up. Andy Markowski, Bill Dolman on the way with Hail Varsity.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. A recruiting analyst with Hail Varsity is Greg Smith. Follow him on Twitter at GregSmithHV. Man, junior day, Greg. We're getting close to signing day 2.0. How you been?
I'm doing well, man. I can look out my window and see snow melting, so that makes me happy.
I am liking this thaw. Now, run out and get all the family of Frosty the Snowman's put up there and tweet out a pic, and it could be... You can put name tags on 3, maybe 4 by Wednesday. Is that fair or not?
Maybe. maybe you could get to 3 or 4.
Let's hit on junior day real quick. I know that's coming up this weekend. And lay that out here. Nebraska's plan with Frost and his staff today. What's this weekend going to be all about?
So Nebraska's hosting the first junior day for the class of 2020, and it's going to be a massive event. We've had a list going on site for a while now, since I think early January, and the group is really headlined by four-star offensive tackle Turner Corcoran out of Lawrence, Kansas, who I think this would then be his 6th time coming to Nebraska campus just since Scott Frost and staff took over. He also came here. He was still interested when Riley was the coach. So he's been here quite a bit. He'll be back in town. He's got a teammate that's coming with him as well, Malik Berry, a linebacker. But there are a lot of quality prospects, including a big group, about 5 or 6 kids from St. Louis. There's a lot of different Missouri kids and Kansas kids on this list. But even above that, what jumps out to me is that there are kids from all over the place coming here. There's guys from Georgia, California, Oklahoma, Ohio, New Jersey. Nebraska's done a great job of being able to put together a really quality event at the beginning of February to really kick this thing off.
Greg Smith is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. It is Junior Day weekend, and you mentioned Turner Corcoran, and you look at where he's at in Lawrence, and every blue moon you get a profile. You know, it seems like every 15 years there's a can't-miss kid out of Lawrence, right? And does he end up in Lincoln? And that's an emphasis. It's your old road trip stomping ground, if you like the Big 8 and the Big 12. And I know it's been enough time where Nebraska's moved on from those two conferences. But the connection with Corcoran and Coach Greg Austin, let's start there. How do things look right now for this offensive tackle? Where's Nebraska at? I know he's been here a ton. Who else is courting him?
Yeah, first, he's got a great relationship with Coach Austin and Coach Frost. Those guys have done a tremendous job of recruiting him and his family. I think his family is really comfortable with Nebraska as well. But the other schools involved, there's a lot because, you know, he's probably a top 100 player in the class of 2020. I think his ranking is only going to go up even from where he is right now, which is pretty incredible. But right now, the other schools in play are Ohio State, Oklahoma is heavily involved as well. And then Kansas and Kansas State are kind of lurking because they're the in-state school. schools. It's difficult for those schools to get traction with big-time players like this, but he does have a lot of respect for those programs, I know, and he's got friends that play at both programs, so that always, you know, makes it a little bit more interesting. But I think Nebraska's main competition here is OU and Ohio State.
Well, and both those programs are known for grabbing offensive tackles, right? I mean, you look at the last few drafts, and OU's had great tackle play, as has Ohio State. Greg, let's talk about Kayvon Billingsley. What's the word on him? He's going to be part of this junior day as well.
Yeah, he's one of the guys making the trip from St. Louis. Defensive end, four-star defensive end out of St. Louis. He's a really good player. I think that he's a solid regional recruit that's starting to get some national interest. But really a balanced defensive end. So he can pass rush. He can also stop the run. And he's exactly the kind of guy that Nebraska needs to start getting from St. Louis, right? You need to win some of those battles. He's got a Missouri offer. He's got an Illinois offer. There's some other schools in the mix as well. He's kind of wide open. But he would be a big-time win. And getting him on campus along with a couple of teammates and along with some other kids from St. Louis is just a really big deal for Nebraska. They need to get a footprint and a hold on what's going on in St. Louis, because there's just too much talent out there for Nebraska to have gone since Trey Bryant without bringing a kid from St. Louis in.
Greg Smith's with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine Recruiting Update, Junior Day this weekend for Nebraska, at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Let's stay in St. Louis for a minute, and total number of kids coming from St. Louis. Let's start there. And the biggest threat in St. Louis or Missouri is who? What's real? Is it the Tigers? I know they just got put on probation. Is it Lovey coming on down from Champaign? Is it still Ohio State? Because they've been very selective but very accurate with the kids they've gotten out of St. Louis.
You know, I right now in St. Louis, I have about five or six that are on the list. But just in Missouri, period, I think I have 12 guys coming to Junior Day from the state of Missouri, which is a big number. There's a lot of programs. What the interesting thing that's happened with what's happening with St. Louis recruiting all the way to Kansas City recruiting and really just statewide, is that the profile has been raised, right? It used to be where Missouri was kind of under the radar with the amount of talent that they have. That's not the case anymore. And now, recently, Missouri is not getting those kids. Illinois is getting some of them because they hired a really big-name high school coach from St. Louis to be on, his name's Corey Patterson, to be on Lovey Smith's staff. So they've done a better job because they have those relationships. But you have a school like Clemson, who has gotten a kid out of Kansas City 3 years in a row, including Mario Goodrich last year's cycle, who was originally committed to Nebraska, the terrific player, cornerback. So when you have schools reaching out from Clemson coming to St. Louis and coming to Missouri in general, it becomes really difficult. So Nebraska has to be able to find a way to get a foothold in there, because Ohio State also is not going away. Guys like Ezekiel Elliott and like that, they've done a really nice job of recruiting that state as well.
Man, and you nailed it. I mean, Nebraska used to go in and take what they wanted, right? I mean, you think of Wistrom, you think of Steve Warren, you think of Dan Alexander, you think of Mike Rucker, Bad Mother Rucker. I mean, they crushed it. We're talking 20, 25 years ago, and Missouri got good with Pinkel. They kept a lot of their in-state talent in, and then that's fascinating that Clemson got one guy, and now it's been 3 years.
And
Kelly Bryant transferring from Clemson to Missouri, that must have made somewhat of an impression. I don't know how he ended up there, but you know what? The offenses have been fun. They've been a decent program. They made a good splash initially into the SEC. Let's touch on Kenny Wilhite, how important he has been to Nebraska and his role because of his connection with St. Louis, his hometown.
Yeah, you know, Kenny is a really important piece for Nebraska to get a foothold into that area because he is able to get basically into any high school in the area that he wants to, right? He gives Nebraska credibility, and he gives them someone who knows the landscape out there, so he can give you either some under-the-radar kids and some of the really big names that are in the state as well. But the thing is Nebraska has to continue to then follow up on that, right? So Nebraska has to make sure that they have a steady presence, and I don't say that to say that they're not – I think that this staff has definitely turned the corner on that, because as people have been wondering where Travis Fisher is, he's not in pictures, not on social media. He has spent a lot of time over these last few weeks in St. Louis trying to make inroads, because that's one of his territories. So I think you'll see Nebraska pick it up here, but it does start with Kenny Wilhite. Then they kind of filter on through some of the other assistants, making sure that they have a consistent presence out there.
Well, Fisher's great at evaluating, and he's done well getting kids, and his defensive backs, wherever he's been, speak for themselves. With, you know, looking at the draft the last few years, the kids from Central Florida, looking at how well Nebraska's corners finished out the year, an exciting time for what Nebraska's got. And then the Wilhite and Fisher combo is a good thing for Nebraska. Couple of Nebraska kids here that are part of Junior Day. Greg, I want you to take on Xavier Betts, Xavier Watts. Where do they stand with Nebraska? They are difference-making type talent here within the state.
Yeah, so Xavier Betts is the four-star wide receiver out of Bellevue West, and he'll be attending Junior Day. He's a really good prospect, about 6'3", 6'4", almost 200 pounds, can also run really well. I think Nebraska's in a good spot here. He just hasn't been out to a lot of places yet. I expect his recruitment to really heat up here as he starts to focus on it. I talked to him before. He said he just hasn't been focused all that much on it, but he has been a frequent visitor at Nebraska. And Xavier Watts from Omaha Burke, actually turns out that he will not be in Lincoln, Virginia Day due to some weird rule with him having a basketball game on the same day, and then he's therefore not allowed to come to Junior Day. It's a lot of NCAA red tape, but never fear, he'll be in Lincoln at a different time because they may end up either having another Junior Day or just having days where guys can actually come out and see practices. That was something, if you remember, that the staff did a lot last year. It felt like guys kept popping up to come check out practices, and that was really impactful because guys really did like to see those up-tempo practices and getting to see, hey, those coaches that I'm talking to maybe on a daily basis, they're the exact same when they coach as when they're, you know, talking to me about the program. So that was really impactful for them last year, and they'll continue that. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Watts come out for some of that.
You know, you look at the size and height of Betts and where he's on the radar, you know, and then you look at Watts. I mean, would Nebraska take both? You would think. I mean, Nebraska wants to keep all the good in-state kids here. Do both kids feel that way towards Nebraska right now? Where's Nebraska at on their priority level?
Yeah, I think Nebraska could take both of them, and I think one of the thing that really helps is that Xavier Watts is able to also play defensive back. As he played, and especially you saw in that state championship game, he had an interception in that game. He's a very good defensive back, and there are people that think that he would be a better defensive back at the college level than a wide receiver. I like him at wide receiver, but you don't have to twist my arm too hard to say let him play defensive back, especially if that's the way that you end up having both of these guys in the class. I think both of them have bright futures at the collegiate level, and Watts in particular just picked up that offer from Notre Dame. I know that was one that he was waiting on. So we'll see now what kind of a fight Nebraska is in for with Notre Dame. But Betts will have every offer from the region as well. So these are going to be two highly recruited guys that Nebraska will definitely want to have in the fold.
Last thought here, about 30 seconds. How you feeling as we get closer for Demarion Houston?
I think Nebraska's in the driver's seat in this one. As I wrote in Big Red Recon earlier today, it's follow the visits, right? So Nebraska got a visit from him in January. He then ended up canceling the next two trips to Colorado, and I forget the other school, Penn State. Penn State and Colorado were the two schools he was supposed to take visits to after. Did not take those. He visited Minnesota before the December signing period and elected not to sign with them then, so I don't know why he would sign with them now. I like Nebraska in good position here for Houston.
Greg, thanks for a few minutes, man.
Hey, thanks as always, man. Have a good weekend.
Gotta love our recruiting hit with Greg Smith on HailVarsity.com and Magazine. We'll hear from Tim Miles next, and a crop report. Where's Nebraska at when it comes to the NCAA tournament? We'll tell you on the way.
He's in his 30s. But sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Bill Dolman's coming up 25 minutes. We'll get Bill's take on the week on Moose, on Nebraska, on Miles. And Andy Markowski at 525. Great to be with you on Hail Varsity Radio. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Nebraska, Illinois tomorrow, 1:15 tip. And Tim Miles in a moment. The crop report is out. I always feel like Duke and Duke and Trading Places. The crop report, great movie. You've seen it, yes? Trading Places, Eddie Murphy, Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like way, way, way old, but it's wonderful. Jamie Lee Curtis is starring in that role. And then the dude from Indiana Jones, I forget his name, the Coleman, the butler. Anywho, I didn't see Butler as a super high seed, but let's talk Big Ten. 9 Big Ten teams still in the NCAA tournament. Minnesota trending upward. Ohio State at a 10.
Ooh.
Yeah, right?
I mean, see that one.
Ohio State was ready just, you know, the bags were packed. Michigan's a number one seed. Maryland's a 6 seed in the Midwest. I should say in the West. In Salt Lake City, Nebraska has fallen, but still in the big dance as we talk today. You have Nebraska v. K-State. The worst college basketball game I ever saw in my life was Nebraska against Kansas State. Opening round, Big 8 tournament, 1992. It's 47-45. There were 8 people there, and Kansas State won on a putback. It was awful.
Well, the thing,
Askia Jones.
The thing with
broke my heart.
K-State right now is, I believe, they lead the Big 12.
They're a 7 seed.
Right. So they would get into the auto bid.
That's just a scarred memory.
Yeah.
I think Dana was down at K-State. He's money. But what I'm telling you is Nebraska's a 10 seed. The arrow is pointing down. It's not a green arrow. It's a red arrow. But at least Nebraska's still in there. This is going to be interesting when it comes to Nebraska. Say Nebraska stabilizes a bit. Say they split with Purdue. They get Minnesota. They beat Northwestern. These aren't gimmies, but they're not in no way in hells either, okay?
Right.
I mean, Michigan, Michigan State, still there. Minnesota's huge Wednesday. Tomorrow's big. You're going to get zero credit for it, and it pretty much put the lights out on you last year when you lost at Illinois. You'd done everything right. You'd finished strong, but Illinois tripped you up because they have a tendency to just rise up and kill people from time to time. You have Seton Hall and Florida right now, both as 11 seeds playing one another as a play-in. You need Seton Hall to remain in the tournament. They can't fade on you. Indiana's also in the tournament still. They're playing Arizona State, Colton Stone's Sun Devils. That's an 11 v. an 11. You can't have Indiana and Seton Hall fall out. I don't even think you can have one fall out.
Mm-hmm.
You have Michigan State's a 2 seed, Whiskey and Iowa a 5 and 6. Still 9 teams. So
yeah, you look at it, and it is a very deep Big Ten. And I mean, Penn State almost beat Purdue last night, and then they, you know, just lost it in the overtime.
That's it. You're talking 0-10.
Yeah.
Penn State almost took down your third team.
Exactly. So it's from top to bottom. I'm not going to say all the teams are great, but they can all be competitive on any given night.
If you're in Penn State's gym, it's a losable game.
Yeah.
It's a losable game for Michigan.
Yeah.
It's a losable game for Purdue.
And then you look at some of the, I know I've talked to you about this, but like Pac-12 teams right now, I mean, there's no Arizona. There's no USC. There's no Oregon.
No, you have Washington
as an 8.
And Arizona State as a play-in.
And so I don't think they're a one-bid league, but at this point,
no, they're working on it.
They essentially are.
They're working on it.
So
here's Tim Miles, and let's go to cut three here on Mr. Tanner Borkart. Tanner Borkart's fantastic. He needs to stay on the floor. That level of importance was communicated. We'll see if it happens tomorrow.
Yeah, I got to keep Tanner in the game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was funny. I was watching tape with James, and the first thing out of his mouth is, we got to keep T in the game. I mean, it just changes everything. And so, you know, he's a very valuable guy. And then when you take out Isaac, you realize that, which is, I think, good for Tanner. It's a new responsibility, and I think it's good for him. I think, you know, I'm seeing his confidence even grow from that.
He is such a good, good cog for rebounding. He's tough. He's physical. He's a hustler. I mean, he sets the tone for the whole team. He's a great body language guy, and I'm not patting him on the head. He's super important because this team right now, they need someone to be a beacon of confidence. Well, Borchardt's limited. He doesn't care. He's still going to just go give it his all. That can infect everybody else in a positive sense, and you saw that against Wisconsin. So keep him on the floor. He's a football player playing basketball, and he's a good enough athlete to do that. I mean that as a compliment. All right, so stay out of foul trouble. So there's some guys that need to get going tomorrow. Here is Coach Miles. Where's Glenn at as he heads back to his home state in a key ball game?
I've watched some film with him one-on-one, which I think is important. And two, then we've watched some things as a team where he was going to last time we played him. And then I'm going to watch a whole bunch of his makes with him tonight or tomorrow before the game. And just, again, reiterate, you know, like Glenn, when he gets a little bit hyper, he's like his coach, get a little bit hyper. He gets into his shot and out of it too quick, right? He snaps into it, doesn't hold his follow through, low percentage play. Flattens out. He knows you got to get into it quick, but you got to stay with your shot too.
All right, Thomas Allen's been off. He's big time. Can he get right? How about Nana? Nana needs to be better. He's physically talented. He can rebound. He's agile and athletic enough. Those are two more guys, cut six here, Colton, that really need to get rolling. They were asked about today at the media session.
Usually when you look at Tom, his best byproduct is standing and scoring. And I thought Tom tried to do a little bit too much, actually, then gets into a bad mentality. So take what comes to you, read the defense, you know, see the play, make the play. I think it's best for both of them. Nana's got to get out of his own way. Just, again, one of those guys that, you know, he's in tears after the game because he wants to help the team. And, you know, he's not very productive right now. Hey, let it go. Keep playing. You can do it. Stay with it, right?
So the gist of the message today is positivity from Miles. We'll hear coming back here that message to his guys. Roby's feeling it's kind of a 10-game season, and it is. I mean, you're 3-7. You can get to 500 and get in. You could probably end up below 500 and get in if you don't lose to any garbage teams. And technically speaking, we just spent 7 minutes telling you what type of hell trying to win at Illinois is. But when it comes to committee time and they see you lose at Illinois in February, that is a misspelled tattoo on your bicep, okay? They won't forget, nor can they. You ever think about, does that worry you, Colton, when you get your tats?
Well, luckily I still only have the one and there's no words, so.
Okay, well, could you work your way into a tattoo versus the streaking bet you made? Because you know Rutgers won last night.
Yeah, two nights ago. Yeah,
they have four. Four!
I'm well aware.
That means Colton Stone is doing the naked sprint down O Street. Unless we find a way out. Hail Varsity will wind down hour one next.
And we're back.
Fellas, I think we could listen to the radio.
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
One final time this hour. Miss City, part of Greg Smith and the recruiting update. Can log on and check out ESPN Lincoln or get to the ESPN Lincoln app. Colton Stone's got that bad boy posted shortly. The entire interview, we'll have some of the highlights of it. Bill Dolman, Andy Markowski coming up. A reminder to you, something's got to stop that motion of your body. Airbags can't always do it. How about seatbelts? How about the seatbelt preventing excessive injury when your vehicle and your body need to slow down? This applies to when you're in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket a message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Here's a real, real question for tomorrow at tip-off at 1 o'clock. Nebraska and where are they at, right? They busted their butt and fell short against Wisconsin. They get up off the mat, and do they grind out a gritty win? Your stars got to be your stars. Stars got to be smart. That has not been a work in progress or very effective the last three games. Your stars have been off. Four of your last six. Five of your last seven. Your stars have been shooting horribly. Here's Tim Miles and his message, man. There's a lot of noise, and it's getting louder. What's he saying to his fellas?
Yeah, I just stick with it. Stay positive. You know, there's noise, and the kids hear the noise, and everybody hears the noise, but we can't eat our own and be a successful society, so we have to stay with it, right? And as we do this, I think it's important. Like, everybody faces adversity in life. You know, so how do we stay strong, remain positive, and find a way to be successful when you're low confidence? And the only way success is earned. You know, nothing succeeds success. I remember saying that as a second grade teacher, fourth grade teacher, whatever it was, right? You can't have that. So we have to go out and play well and earn it. Now, we played harder against Wisconsin. I thought we took some, we had a couple guys with their Superman cape on trying to do too much on offense. And that's just not the way it can work. We have to share it, trust each other, take the open shots when they're there. Second of all, I thought Wisconsin made plays. Davison hit a really tough turnaround. Trice hit one over Brady that was a very difficult shot. Charlie Thomas hits his third three of his career. They made plays. You know, those were big plays. We I don't think, did. We made hustle plays, but we don't have that bravado yet, I think, to, you know, and you earn that. I think we had it. Now it's gone mysteriously, right? We got to earn it back.
You do. And at this point in the year, I would hope this veteran team wouldn't be shell-shocked confidence-wise, but they are, and they're trying to dig out of it. We have time for one more or not?
Yeah.
Last thought here from Coach Miles is finding that middle ground. Guys that need to step up and play well, but also taking and making good shots.
Well, if you don't take great shots, it doesn't matter, you know. And in the Big Ten, it's a shot makers league. It's a league that, you know, you if you get quick and you get careless, you're in trouble. And so that's the biggest thing, and that is a hard line to toe. What you got to do is get those guys going a little bit. Now, once you can get them going, you can ride them out a little bit. What I mean by that is, let's say we all share it in our, you know, we run an action to create some play for the team. We get a drawn kick. Glenn hits a three, right? Now maybe we can go to him and feature him a little bit more.
Got to be confident. We'll see. You know what, though? Without Isaac, this team, and Miles is kind of reiterating the underdog. Hey, if they don't think about that target, target's been removed, all right? No one expects much from you now. Now go play free. Go do it. I'm anxious to see how they do against a team that is very, very bipolar in Illinois. Bill Dolman's coming up. Hail Varsity.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Good to have you in hour two at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. So I just got a text during the break from a dear family friend. We run around with them, Jay Bird and Jilly. We love them dearly. But sometimes their kid, who's teammates with Carson, is money about getting on his phone and texting up sweet ideas like, hey, we're all going to Montana for the weekend. Can your parents drive? He's a networker. So I'm having to answer the spend the night question. Can Junior spend the night over there? Like, hey, I need identification, facial recognition that this is really mom texting and not the kid on the mom's phone. So there you go. We welcome in the Pride of Fairbury with NBC Sports. He has been watching and listening from a distance the week that's been. With Nebraska, we say hi to Bill Dolman, at Bill Dolman on Twitter is where you follow him. Billy D, how are you?
Well, it's kind of an odd week for me. I'm not watching people shoot rifles and ski and cross-country ski, so I'm trying to get back into the reality or the life that is sports domestically. But I'm thinking that kid, the way he's networking and working the phones like that, you might want to get him with Novotny and Nate over there at Gary Michaels because he might have a future in sales.
I think so. I would think that'd work out. I mean, Uncle Nate's the best. Navat can show you the direction, and absolutely.
Yeah.
And the next step is to get, you know, Navat to start pay for some advertising once in a while. So, I mean, if the kid can make that happen, That's the dream. That's the dream. He's got enough buddies that name drop him all the time, so it's all good. There's enough. There's been enough Canadian club. He's donated to people, so we're okay.
Yeah.
Bill, you've been in administration. You've been in college athletics. You've seen it all, man. And you, what's your take on this week from afar, and also as a Nebraskan with Bill Moose and this rumor turned statement turned the Bill Moose show turned reaction? Oh, and by the way, you know, Tim Miles is still fighting for his job tomorrow.
I thought you were talking about the state of biathlon, which is taking a break for the North American tour, which resumes in Canmore, Canada, and in Salt Lake City in a couple of weeks. But aside from that, on the networks of NBC, you know, it's really distressing. Is that? I don't know if that's too tough a word. But it's like, it's, you know, to a certain extent, some people just can't stand prosperity. And then when there is some prosperity, which I think Nebraska is on the cusp of, people don't want to share in it. They want more than their share of it. And I don't know Bill Moose personally. I do recall a conversation that I had with somebody who does know him and has known him for many years. Before he even got the job at Nebraska, who said Bill Moose would be great at Nebraska. And, from afar and what I read, and he seems, and I've said it many times on the show, he seems to be one of us. He just hasn't lived here before. Is he perfect? Absolutely not. But I just have always gotten the sense that that guy understands the pulse of Nebraska far greater than some of the other tools that have been in that job. Aside from Tom Osborne, of course, he's much better adept at being the AD at Nebraska than a lot of people. You know, Bill Byrne, for my money, and I didn't have enough to hang with Bill, but
dollar
for the past 30 years, there are very few athletic directors that have been as good as Bill Byrne. But was Bill, a true blue, or I should say true red Nebraskan? Probably not. But he did what he was supposed to do in bringing Nebraska in from the 70s and into, one of the most progressive, and I don't mean that in a political sense, athletic departments in the country. He took us light years ahead of almost everybody. And, teams followed suit. I'm in Oklahoma right now, and I don't think any athletic department in the country has it going on better than Oklahoma. And
because Stigley owns money.
Right. But what Bill Byrne did at Nebraska was set the standard, and everybody's followed and probably surpassed Nebraska to a certain extent. Now, I say all that in that you still have to have somebody who understands your culture. And I think Bill Moose is somebody who understands what it means to have a beverage in Omaha and have one in Ogallala.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have that in that kind of job. And we had somebody who, grew up where we were from who completely didn't get it. And we paid a very dear price for it. We had another guy who didn't belong in, an athletic director's chair and just continued to fail upward and took us down with him as he failed upward again. And it took Tom to right the ship. To me, it's just distressing that now that I think Nebraska has things going in the right direction, are there rumors? Is there fact to it? Who knows? But the fact that it's coming out at this time really is just a bummer. I mean, it's just a total downer on, what is a really good time to be, I think, involved in Nebraska athletics, regardless of what's happening with men's basketball right now.
That's where we're going next. Bill Dolman, the pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports is Bill Dolman at NBC.
Any athletic director is going to have a toddy or two, mm-hmm. Any athletic department is going to have its fair share of social gatherings. I learned the art of sophisticated drinking at the Legion Club, for God's sakes, when I was, in college.
You did because you were there. You were interning and working with DeVaney, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was around, how the Nebraska Athletic Department, mm-hmm. It made sure that people were entertained.
Sure.
And not in a Luther Campbell kind of way, but they were entertained when they came to Lincoln, and the people liked coming there. You know, Keith Jackson would bring his wife to Nebraska all the time because Don Bryant and his wife Petey, they were best of friends, and you know, everybody would come to Nebraska because they knew when they got there they were going to have a good collegial time with mm-hmm. people who enjoyed entertaining, you know?
Good steak, good drink, and good band, right?
Yeah, well, okay.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I was thinking. If you went to the Legion Club, it was more of an Oompa Loompa than it was, you know, going down to the drumstick or something.
I'm not saying it was going and seeing REM or Nirvana. I'm saying
Johnny Reed on the Sax Maniac.
Thank you.
No.
Right, yes.
It was like Ed Prochaska and the accordion band, right? But it was still fun.
Right.
Anyway.
But no, you saw how interaction socially and the public, and it's also a new day and age where nothing stays private. I mean, you can't just
right.
be yourself. You got to always be on guard if you're right. a famous person in public, and just got to act accordingly. Let's talk basketball, and Nebraska is going to be out in public tomorrow, out in Illinois. And Illinois is a team that can be as good as they want to be, but their consistency is really, really awful. Nebraska, their consistency has taken a nosedive, and it's a confidence issue. We were talking about that dreaded discussion because many folks have just kind of signed off on Nebraska. Okay, they're wearing a toe tag right now, despite the latest crop report and bracketology having Nebraska in as a 10 seed still. You know, where's your thought process at with Nebraska as a big picture? You've seen the program, you know it. I mean, from a coaching standpoint, are they is the next guy, if there is a next guy, going to do a better job? I mean, what's the ceiling here?
Well, I don't want to go down, you know, the path too far. I think the guy that they have is pretty good, but this is just a really distressing time.
Mm-hmm.
I'll use that word again, with the injury to Copeland. It reminded when I saw that happened. It was Copeland, right? It was Copeland.
Yeah.
When I saw that, my first thought was of the Cincinnati team about 15 years ago when Kenyon Martin was the best player in the country.
Yeah,
they were number
one
in the country, mm-hmm. and they were a for sure one seed. And then he breaks his ankle, and it's not even a question if he can play. I mean, he's done, and they go from, you know, being a one seed and a favorite to win a national champion. I don't remember what their seed was, but it was a factor going into the NCAA tournament that if he can't play, they're not the same team. And Nebraska is not in that class of that Cincinnati team. But when it comes to that selection Sunday, they're going to look at this and go, wait, this is a team that Bill Dolman said for many weeks wasn't tough against Texas Tech and has no depth, and now they've lost one of their two best players, and they don't have more than five anyway. So when it comes time, I'm heartened to hear that their body of work right now merits a 10. But my great fear is that Nebraska, if they don't get it turned around tomorrow and the rest, I mean, they've got to go above 500 by a couple of games the rest of the way, and now they're in that win the games in the NCAA tournament. I'm afraid they're not going to get in because if they're going to look at that roster and go, if that guy's not playing and they play five guys 32 minutes a night or more,
mm-hmm.
And now they're using guys off the bench for the first time all season and they're getting 10 minutes, then this is not the same team that blew out Creighton on the highest point of the season, won at Clemson, and I really think one of the more impressive victories for Nebraska this season was beating Oklahoma State, because that was after the Creighton win, when they were so dominant, when they kicked their ass the way they should have been, you know, for the last 20 years, and there was no letdown. And they're playing at a venue that's not home, and they played great, and they beat Oklahoma State. Nebraska has fallen considerably, you know, down the hill since then. And then, you know, I've questioned the toughness, and, you know, I think it's an NBA wannabe team.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim said on the air a couple of days ago or a couple of weeks ago, you know, the team's just not tough. and not mentally tough. And we saw that until the final, you know, minute and a half of the Michigan State game, then all of a sudden there was some toughness there, and they fought back, got it to within four. But for the most part of that game, they were launching threes and casting up wild shots and not using the shot clock and playing undisciplined NBA-like basketball. And now you've lost one of your best players. I'm afraid of what that discussion is. Well, I shouldn't say, I know what that discussion is going to be. But I'm afraid that Nebraska, unless they turn it around and go three games above 500 the rest of the way, they're not going to get into the tournament.
So let's say that discussion goes that way. Say Nebraska busts their butt. They play hard. They don't quit. They do everything right, and they're still in the they still find a way to get five more wins, and they're at 18 wins, which means the NIT.
If they can go above 500, and I was thinking 18, you know, earlier today, I'm looking at that schedule.
So they go 5-5. They're 18-13.
Right. I don't think they're in.
Even in the Big Ten? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with you either, because before Cope went down, man, they weren't playing good.
Right, they weren't, but I still think people look at the team and go, there are two guys that can play the NBA.
Right.
You know, and I do think Copeland could be a guy that could be an NBA player. I think Palmer will be. I think Copeland could be. I mean, for the love of God, Mikey Moore spent 15 years in the NBA. Why not Copeland? Mm. But I really think that
Mikey,
even though they were not playing well, the body of work, you know, up until this slide and the non-conference, they went out, they scheduled, they beat teams, you know, in that, you know, in challenging themselves, they won games, they won at Clemson, they beat up. I really think that Nebraska people would look at that and go, you know what, this is a really good team, and they'll turn it around. And this is but without him on the floor playing 32 minutes. It's a different team now. And now you've got to get somebody off that bench who's going to, you know, there might be the two guys that are going to combine for 20 or 30 minutes. You know, nobody's going to come off that Nebraska bench and all of a sudden be a 30-minute guy.
Nope.
Right? So you got two guys playing 15 minutes that, you know, have 10 fouls between them that just have to give Nebraska an edge, a physical edge that they have not displayed at all this season. And, yeah, they lost to Wisconsin 62-51 or 61-52. I think all of the games are going to be like that the rest of the way. And yep. You've got to win those games. You're not going to have the 93-84 Iowa game again.
No.
Right? It's not going to happen.
They played well enough they did a great job of coming back against Wisconsin. Wisconsin was just too balanced. Bill, I've got about 30 seconds. I need a Super Bowl prediction. New England, L.A.
Oh, see, my mind continues to go back to biathlon. You know what? I love Ndamukong Suh, and I love Wade Phillips. I like that L.A. Ram defense far more than I like their offense, because I don't think that offense is super. I just think it's not viable.
Right.
That said, I think the Patriots are going to win again.
Same here.
I think Brady's motivated. I think Edelman is the best possession receiver. I think Burkhead's going to score two touchdowns, and I think that defense is just good enough to and I think what you're going to see is the game open up like the game in Kansas City did, where they marched down the field for 7.5-8 minutes and had the ball, you know, what, 24-3 plays or something like that in the first quarter. I think that's the same game plan that they'll have for L.A. Now, L.A.'s not going to make the mistake and give them the football first.
Right.
But I think you're going to see ball control, New England. They know how to do it. And I think the Patriots are going to win again. And quite frankly, it won't bother me if they do. I'm not one of those that hates on the Patriots.
Bill Dolman. Billy D. We'll talk next week. Thanks for your time, bud.
All right. Go Big Red.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
More Husker basketball thoughts. Let's get caught up with Andy Markowski. We welcome him into Hail Varsity Radio, the pride of Ord. Andy, how's your week, man?
You know what? It feels much better today with the temperature warming up a little bit than it did earlier in the week. It makes you scratch your head on why you live in this state.
No, well, you and I both, man, love this state, but you're right. The sub-zero to 50, is it going to be similar to this Nebraska roadie Saturday? Will they thaw out offensively, or Or is it still going to be sub-zero?
Well, they can't shoot it much worse. you know, I think last week, you know, we were talking, and I told everybody to take a deep breath and don't panic. You know, there's a lot of season left with four, you know, potential winnable games. And I guess I'll take that back. I think it's time to panic a little bit. Certainly losing the two home games hurts. You know, losing Copeland, you know, probably hurts, you know, even more in terms of the, you know, just really not having enough pieces to work with. You know, it's a one or two play bad. You know, for instance, Glenn Watson really struggled shooting the ball against Wisconsin. You just don't have anywhere else to go. You just got to hope that they can shoot themselves out of it. But it certainly looks bleak, you know, with a lot of, you know, tough games still ahead.
Andy Markowski's with us. Now, and, you know, your message when we talked made sense, and that's been Coach Miles's message. Just kind of get that confidence back, and he's staying positive, and that needs to be the message. You have enough talent here to win and do okay. The next 10 games, you have opportunity. 7 or 10 games are against teams in the tournament. The latest crop report says Nebraska is still a 10 seed, but Illinois is a different team. Andy, I want to get into the reality of Nebraska, the shots they're taking and the ones that aren't making, just the motion versus the decision to take a quick shot and how you can temper that or dial it back. Because in all of Nebraska's losses, I mean, you start with Tech, right? You look at the road games they had won, and even before Cope got hurt, they weren't going in a good way. You can talk till you're blue in the face about taking bad shots, but they're still doing it. Maybe they'll be better tomorrow, I don't know. But from a coaching standpoint, how do you get that point across? There's not a bench that you can go point to and bring in. I mean, the guys that are starting are there because they're the best players. There's no threat of getting benched. I mean, how do you get these guys to buy in and just be smarter with their shots?
And I don't think it's truly, you know, really poor shot selection where players are just going rogue and, you know, doing things on their own. You know, you look at a team like Wisconsin, and, you know, sometimes your best shot comes in the first 6 to 9 seconds of the shot clock in transition, you know, before they really get their defense, you know, set. You know, unfortunately, when you take a quick open shot and it doesn't go in, you can complain and say, hey, I wish we would have, you know, passed the ball around more. And, you know, but you may never have got an open shot as good as the one that, you know, you took in the first 6 to 9 seconds. The reality of it, you know, it's a, you know, you're either a shot taker or a shot maker, right? I mean, a lot of people yeah. like to take shots. And unfortunately, Nebraska has had a bunch of shot takers in 7 years and not a lot of shot makers. And, you know, that's the reason why they're in the spot they're in. I mean, you can be critical of the offense or the coach or the X's and O's or, you know, this player didn't do that. But in the end, you know, it's league games. Teams are well scouted. They're going to take your strengths away. If you get an open shot, you know, you got to take it with confidence and you got to make it. And in the last 4 minutes, you've got to make more than you miss because most of these games come down to the wire. And Nebraska just has not done that, whether it's, you know, confidence or coaching or, you know, players aren't good enough. I mean, it's hard to pinpoint one thing, but the reality of it, you know, we thought they had good enough players this year, and it just hasn't worked out where they've made enough plays and much, you know, as many shots as they need to win.
Andy Markowski is with us, Hail Varsity Radio, talking Nebraska basketball. Andy, when you got to Nebraska and you got better as your career continued, you had teammates that started out really talented as well and ended up playing for years in the NBA. I'm thinking of Lou, and I'm thinking of Strick, and even Mikey Moore, you know, 10-year plus guys. What was the process for you guys to develop and get better? That's one thing. You have a thin bench now. There's not been a lot of depth development. There's a question mark I have guys gotten better at Nebraska from freshman year to senior year? And it's not all on the coach. Some of the guys gotta step up and make plays as well. But your process and the teams you were on
What got you guys better? I mean, how did you develop? How did the practices develop you?
Yeah, I think it's all the above. I mean, you know, a lot of skill work still goes in the season. You know, when you have depth, you know, you're able to really compete in practice and create an environment where you go at each other for playing time, you know, things that they haven't been able to do. I do think some of these, you know, James Palmer, you know, was an unknown quantity that hardly played at Miami. So, you know, I do think Tim has had some players that have improved. You know, I look at even the Jacobson kid at Iowa State. I mean, you know, part of that, I thought he developed a little bit at Nebraska and has developed more since he's went to Iowa State. So, you know, they just haven't had enough players stay in the program to solidify, you know, playing around Watson, Copeland. You know, if they had a few more players going with them, I think it would really help. But, you know, the off season is immensely important from a strength training, from a skill development. Coaches are able to work more with their kids now in the summer than they ever could. You know, when I coached and or played, the summer was really off limits outside of the strength coach. Now they, you know, they have hours that they could work with their kids in the summer. So, you know, if your group is not improving, but Nebraska has been unable to redshirt kids, right? I mean, Brady Hyman is a perfect example of that. You know, he should have redshirted this year. I mean, that's a year that is not wasted in the sense he's got a lot out of it. But our program has always been a year behind with roster depth, with size. And you're always kind of, you know, chasing one missing piece. And now that stunts your development year over year over year when maybe you could have redshirted guys and focused more on skill development versus some of the stuff that Brady has to do now. So just an example of it, just this program just can't seem to get ahead. And you know, you really thought, you know, this was a year they could get to the tournament. But then you had question marks on, well, you know, after this year, then where do they go? Nobody's left. You know, you don't have a lot of young kids that are contributing. So it's just, you know, once again, it's been in a 20-year, you know, where do we go from here type conversation. And I know the fans are frustrated, especially on a year that we finally had expectations and fans were excited for a basketball season, which doesn't happen a lot, you know, with Nebraska basketball.
Andy Markowski is with us, the pride of Ord, standout Nebraska. He was a captain, NCAA tournament teams, and an NIT championship. So, Andy, this is the bigger picture question about the Nebraska basketball job. And I am being respectful because there's a current head coach here, but there's the noise that exists out here because Miles got just a year extension a year ago from AD Moose. What happens moving forward? We talked Ty Lue last time you were on. With the Nebraska job, and you coached, man, you coached Division I college basketball. What is the real view on the Nebraska gig, facilities, recruiting base? Go down the list here. How appealing is it? And Nebraska, including Coach Knee, has always gone mid-major guy versus known quantity or assistant to blue blood. If things have to change down the road, you know, how does Nebraska get it right the next time?
Yeah, and it's really hard. I mean, if you look at, you know, from the Barry Collier hire to the Doc Sadler hire, you know, Nebraska really didn't have a lot of momentum. You know, the program was really in rebuild mode, didn't mm-hmm. have any facilities, anything to really get, you know, a coach excited. You know, I think we've changed that. I think Pinnacle Bank has really aided the environment, and it gives you something that is on scale with some of the other, you know, good programs in the country. You know, the practice facilities, academics, all the things that Nebraska can sell. You know, certainly as you start checking a box as a head coach of things that you're looking for are all positive. But from when I've talked to people and guys that have passed on Nebraska, you know, head jobs, and starting with Bill Self, it does not produce players in the state, in the geography close to it. And that is a real concern for coaches. They know that they're only as good as the players that they can, you know, put, you know, in a lineup and in their program. I'm not saying that you can't get talented guys here, but that certainly is a challenge. And, you know, so as you start looking at the market, you know, there's going to be guys that we would love to have that just pass because of how hard it is to go out and recruit nationally and get the type of kids that you're going to need to beat Michigan and Michigan State, which are perennial, you know, top 10 programs. And they have a lot better recruiting base up there. So Tim hasn't, you know, been let go yet. You know, certainly I think the administration, you know, failed him in terms of not extending him, not you know, backing him, whether or not, you know, he did enough to deserve 4 years on your contract. I do know this. This job is really hard to do when you have 4 years on your contract. To out-recruit people with 1 or 2 years on your contract, you know, just places enough doubt in it recruits' minds, which, you know, finishing second in recruiting doesn't do you any good, right? I mean, you have to get kids to sign the bottom line, and Nebraska has missed on a few kids, and you don't know why, but certainly having lack of administrational support the last 2 or 3 years from two different ADs, certainly it didn't help. But, you know, he's put himself in this position, and they're going to have to win a lot of games late to save it. Then from there, I don't know. I was partially part of the last search, you know, didn't like the direction that went, didn't feel like there was a great plan. You know, hopefully under the new administration now that they have a better understanding of how much it's going to cost and a short list of guys to go after and signing a mid-major head coach has proven to not work the last 7 times. So I would be really shocked if you decided to do the exact same thing again. But, you know, there's people put in place to make those hard decisions. And as a fan and a person that wants to see the program do well, hopefully they make the right decision on Coach Miles and then who, you know, what direction they go if they decide to part ways.
It's Andy Markowski, standout Nebraskan, and, of course, the pride of Ord. Andy, have a good weekend of basketball. Thanks for a few minutes.
Thanks, Chris.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We want to introduce you to Lisa Graff. She is with Madonna Proactive, registered dietitian, fitness trainer, health and wellness coach. Lisa, nice to spend a few minutes with you. How are you?
I'm great. Happy to be here.
Hey, it is that time of year where folks can learn and kind of make that choice to be better with their diets. And I want to get a little background on you, Lisa, for our listeners. Tell us your story real quick before we get into fitness and nutrition and just being healthier. What kind of prompted you to get into the dietitian side of things and the fitness side of things?
Sure. Well, I'm originally from Scottsbluff, Nebraska, so out west. Have quite a few people in my family who farm and have cattle, so kind of grew up with a little bit of that ag background knowledge. Moved to the big city, moved to Omaha when I was 19, 20, worked in hospitality for quite a while and realized, you know, the things that people are eating are terrible. You know, they're not great for you for the most part when you're eating out. So I kind of found a new direction, went to school to become a dietitian and did that at UNL. So got my undergrad there, did a dietetic internship through UNL, and then continued and got my master's degree there. And then, you know, found the perfect gig blending fitness and nutrition working for Madonna Proactive.
That's a good story. And you look at when it comes to nutrition and that being part of the lifestyle, the key, isn't it, is to get folks to make that commitment. Explain the process that you help folks kind of achieve and make that move when it comes to the fitness side, but also the nutrition. You can make the nutrition choices first and then the fitness can follow. Both can happen, but it really comes down to a commitment. No one's perfect all the time, but you're right. You nailed it, that many of us don't eat great all the time.
Right. I mean, yeah, no one's perfect. No one has a perfect diet, myself included. But you hit the nail on the head with making those small changes and then also, you know, realizing that you can work out every day, you know, two or three hours a day, but if you're not making the right choices in the kitchen, you're sabotaging your progress. So it's a matter of you know, just chatting with people, figuring out what their goals are, and then making those small incremental changes that are easier to stick with. Because, you know, this time of year, you know, we're into the new year, it's real easy to jump on the, oh, I'm revamping my diet, doing a complete overhaul of my lifestyle. And, you know, those things are just really hard to stick with when you make too many changes all at once.
Lisa Graff is joining us here, Hail Varsity Radio. I know the big game is this weekend, and it is the cheat Sunday for the rest of the year, not just the month. We'll get into that. Asking for a friend, some of us have hit the 4-0 number, and weight loss is a little more difficult. Muscle gain is evading. Energy level is important. And when it comes to folks, if they want to come see you at Madonna Proactive 56th and Pine Lake in Lincoln, you can help them get that direction down, right? When it comes to weight loss, muscle gain, and energy level, correct?
Absolutely. And there's a lot of factors that play into that. But yeah, everything you're saying is all related. So the more muscle we have, the more calories we burn. It elevates our metabolism throughout the day. And then that increases our energy level throughout the day as well. So, yeah, those are all tied in together. With age, we do see that age-related muscle wasting, so it's important to continue doing those weight-bearing activities and then fueling yourself with good quality protein throughout the day so you can maintain that muscle mass.
What are some options protein-wise? We'll get into some diet enhancement suggestions from you, Lisa, but just for you example, what proteins do you like or do you recommend to start with? There's 1,000 choices out there, but what are some of the smart choices?
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, most of us are not needing to supplement. You know, a few athletes do need to supplement because their calorie and protein needs are so high. But for just the average person, we can get all of our protein needs met through regular food sources. So what I start with my clients is to see what they're eating already. I want to make sure that they like what they're eating and that food is not a chore, because if it is, they're not going to be able to stick with it. So I'm looking at lean proteins, you know, the typical ones that you always think of, chicken, fish, but we can also fit lean beef and pork in there. There's a lot of new products with like chicken and turkey breasts and sausages out there that aren't terrible for your calorie budget and still have good quality protein. And then there's also those vegetarian sources. So, you know, big game this weekend, a lot of people might be doing chili. That's a great protein source with the meat in there and those beans.
Lisa Graff's with us, and she does awesome work with Madonna Proactive, registered dietitian and a fitness trainer, health and wellness coach. Think about combining that health and wellness together with fitness and, of course, the right diet, and Lisa can help you with that. How about hydration? That is so key. I've been trying to drink more water, easier said than done. What are some options to maybe get that hydration amount, those ounces up there day to day?
Yeah, great question. Especially this time of year when it's freezing cold outside, it's hard to get yourself to drink as much water as you need. But a couple strategies for you. So one thing is to try to get more in earlier in the day. If you wait until you get off work or wait until dinner time, it's a lot harder to stay motivated to get that water in because you're going to be waking up every hour or two throughout the night, and that's going to be demotivating to do it again the next day. So getting that water in early, so maybe trying to get, you know, a 16-ounce or even 32 ounces in before lunchtime, then it'll be easier the rest of the day to finish up and get the rest of that water in. Another strategy is to, you know, not just do plain water. If plain water doesn't appeal to you, you can. There's a lot of sparkling waters out there that you can do, or even those, you know, slightly sweetened, maybe 5 calories per bottle, like sparkling ice or Propel or something like that would be an option. And then a warm option for this time of year would be an herbal hot tea, or some people will just do like hot water with lemon. So it's not making you cold, but you're still getting that fluid in.
Lisa Graff is with us, Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake. Lisa, about a minute left here, and it was awesome to meet you. The other thing to touch on here when it comes to diet enhancement, we hit protein, we hit hydration. Talk to me about fiber.
Fiber. Nobody eats enough. That's the big story there. The average American eats 11 grams of fiber a day. And what we recommend is that men consume 38 grams of fiber and women consume 25 grams of fiber. That's per day. So if you think of like an apple, a whole apple, that has about 3 grams. So the bottom line with fiber is you have to eat a very large quantity of those fiber-rich foods in order to hit that fiber goal. The good thing is those high-fiber foods generally don't have very many calories, so you're not going to gain weight doing that. But, yeah, most Americans are not hitting that fiber goal. That'll make a lot of things run better in your body, especially in your digestive system, if you hit that fiber goal daily.
Lisa, it's been fun to talk today. Thanks for a few minutes with us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time on a Friday, Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. I'm Colton Stone. Follow me on Twitter at @2birds1stone. Follow Schmidt, of course, at @Schmidt_radio. Always follow Hail Varsity. We'll have the show uploaded shortly. It'll be on iTunes. You can find it on the ESPN 1480 app. You can find it on the website. And, of course, as always, we'll have Hail Varsity 2-Minute Drill. Have some of the best of our interviews today. Big thanks to Greg Smith, Annie Markowski, Bill Dolman, and Lisa from Madonna for stopping by. Quickly, a name that I think has become a focus on, you know, can you recruit kids to play basketball out of Nebraska? Mike Dom out of Kimball, Nebraska, someone that wasn't highly recruited to Nebraska to play for the Huskers, and a little bit of history being made for him potentially as he sits right now after their win against Oral Roberts last night. Sits at 2,825 career points as a senior at South Dakota State, 175 points away from being just the ninth player to score 3,000. And he's on pace to finish with over 3,100, exactly 1 point over 3,100 as of going into Thursday's game. So those numbers are a little different. They've got seven regular season games up to three Summit League tournament. And right now, in Joe Lenardi's last bracketology, they're slotted as a 14 seed taking on 3 seed Kansas. So something to play for there. But Dom would put, if he finished at 3,101, at sixth place on the Division I all-time list. Guys in that list, names that, of course, ring a bell. Pete Maravich at top, number one, 3,667. And one of the most recent players, or the most recent player to get into that list, is Doug McDermott from Creighton. In 145 games, he had 3,150 points. So would be joining an exclusive club, but also on his way there, he would be passing Larry Bird, Tyler Hansbrough, Elvin Hayes, Al Frederick Hughes, Danny Manning, and Oscar Robertson, and that would put him to 9, and that would get him to be the ninth player in 3,000 points. So like I said, 2,825 for him. In his career, he's averaging, once I find that here, in his career, averaging over 24 points a game, chasing, like I said, Larry Bird. He's averaging, 22 points a game in 127 games. 518 points as a freshman, which he started just two of those games. 878 points as a sophomore, 836 as a junior, and currently has 596 as a senior. So on pace to make it, Mike Dom, Kimball, Nebraska, to make it into that 3,000 club, a very exclusive club of Division I basketball players. Tomorrow, of course, we're open on Saturday, 7 to 9 a.m. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranach, myself, bright and early. We'll catch you up on more Husker news. Junior day tomorrow for Husker football. And Brandon Vogel, Gary Sharp tomorrow. Again, big thanks to Bill Dolman, Annie Markowski, Greg Smith with recruiting hit, and Lisa from Madonna Proactive. So, for Chris Schmidt, I'm Colton Stone. We will catch you guys tomorrow morning. We'll talk to you then. Thanks.